with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Going to be NFL-centric. Jared, did you know, do you realize that a week from tomorrow, there's going to be real live NFL football?
No, I didn't realize it, but it doesn't shock me. It always sneaks up on you.
A week from tomorrow, the Hall of Fame game will be going strong on a Thursday night. So, two things. One, Bill Barnwell wrote an article on ESPN.com today. 20 guys with the most to prove. Basically, what 20 people in the NFL have the most pressure on them for this season? It could be players. He's got executives. He's got coaches. I went just the player route. Of the three guys that I think have the most pressure on them coming into this season.
Okay.
So we can talk about that list. You know, something that we haven't talked about much, if even any, and it's one of the main topics during the season.
During which season?
During the NFL season.
Okay, what's that?
Fantasy football.
Yeah.
We hadn't really done much fantasy. So I've got some fantasy football questions for you just to kind of mull over. In the middle of the show. Also, something new coming to Oklahoma City, which is kind of surprising to me that it's taken this long to get here. It's kind of what I've got on my mind. Feel free to chime in with anything else you guys have. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app's got it all. Three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight. So check it out. ThePennyNews.com. All the deals right there at your fingertips online. You can also probably pick up a print copy in some locales this evening. So, you know, we always talk about the double dip. Rush out right now, get a copy of the Penny News, and then this afternoon into tomorrow, you get a brand new copy of the Penny News. So, two for one deal on a Wednesday. Also within the app, Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. Speaking of Big Elk TV, we will have the superintendent of schools here at Elk City Public Schools, Mr. Mike Sparks, will be on with us tomorrow at 9:30. He's got some things that he wants to get out there. I look forward to talking to him about that and then also the upcoming school year. We'll have Mr. Sparks on 9:30 in the morning right here on the Skinny on Sports show. Then also the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go find that show, whichever one it was that you missed, on KADSAM.com or iTunes. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm trying to. Here's the thing. This is one of the busier weeks. I thought after golf tournament and after the fishing derby that maybe my life, my work life at least, would slow down a little bit until we really started getting ramped up for Big Elk football, which is coming. I know that one of my duties that I failed to execute, and I may have to pass it on to you, is to get some music behind that promo. It just occurred to me that I haven't done that trying to change a traffic system this week. I don't even know if anybody that works here knows that outside of Casey, what's going on.
I could tell you've been busy in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Entering contracts from one system to the other. I think we're at 117.
Look at you go.
Right now. And so that goes
people
live.
People say, radio's fun. You guys don't do anything. All you do is talk on the air.
Yeah, wrong?
Wrong.
Tell that to my wife when I rolled into bed. I guess it would have been Monday night. Yeah, Monday night at 12:30 from trying to get a jump and probably catch up really and truly on getting those contracts in. But anyways, so that's been, you know, a little bit time consuming, and therefore it doesn't look like this year I'm going to get the break that we're accustomed to between, say, golf tournament and the start of football season.
Well, that's all right. Once then, you know what that's going to do? Once football season kicks in, we'll be – it feels like there's a certain point of football season, everything's routine, and we're kind of on cruise control, if that makes sense. Like, we know on this day we do this, on this day we do that.
Right.
Once everything settles down, once we get all the ads produced and put in the system, and I know it seems it's a furious pace right up until kickoff of the first game, and then everything kind of kicks in. Like, okay, this is how we do this, and then here we go. So that relax period's coming for you, even though you think it's not, because we'll be right at it during football season. But at least for me, I feel like, okay, now we know on this day we do this, this day we do that, we leave on Friday to go to the game at this time. You know, we always have a nice routine. I'm a routine guy. I like it.
Yeah, I am too, and that's what makes you're at least in the early going, I think part of the reason why it's so feels so hectic is because part of the routine involves Sean.
Well,
and
yeah,
him getting his duties figured out in a timely manner for us to start setting a routine.
There's that. There's always that. Sean is a part of that routine, if that makes sense. That's oh boy. I'm anxious for football to kick off.
I am too.
At all levels, but especially high school level. There's a buzz right now.
I've been looking for the Vite magazine to come. I don't know if it's been officially released. It's almost maybe even worth the trip to
an on-cue.
An on-cue. Yeah. Maybe that one on right there by UConn in order to try to find.
The closest one, I think.
I think it is too. And it's also easy access, easy on, easy off.
Yeah.
Just turn around. Let me ask you this. Do we know if they have Phil Still there as well?
That I don't know.
A one-stop shop for all things football previews.
That'd be great. I don't know. When I went on my trip, every newsstand in an airport, I was looking for Phil Stills.
I think it was just released this week. Okay. You're like a week and a half early.
I didn't know what the date was, but I knew it was about mid-summer, mid-July is usually when it drops. So I was looking and I couldn't find anything. I avoid Athlon. Athlon's really it's. I don't like Athlon anymore.
They'll ask for a kidney on the Phil Steele.
Yeah,
with the price.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I'm debating going the digital route, like on my iPad.
Yeah,
I'm debating that, but then I can't give that to you. We can't share it.
That's why we
like to hold it.
We could
right?
both probably do it for.
Can we put a digital version on both of our devices for one price? I don't know if that's.
I was gonna say you might be able to do it on each of our devices for the same price as getting one real one.
Well, that's true. It might be way cheaper. That's a good point. This is a business expense, right? Can we turn in a receipt?
Now that's what I'm talking about. Now we're thinking.
Especially for the Vibe, though, for the high school preview. We use that a lot.
Well, listen, right here. You don't think Phil Steele information isn't pertinent to this show?
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And then our game prep, again, going back to the high school route. So we need, yeah. So maybe we need to go and find the physical copy and go, ma'am, I need a receipt for that, please. So we could
turn it in.
Looks
like you can get one for $31. Or two for 37 on the Phil Steele. So why wouldn't we get an extra one for $6?
Well, that might be the way to go.
And then the Vibe. You know, last year I was able to get one sent to us.
Yeah. Maybe it's time to give Mark a call and have him on our show. And then drop the bomb on him. Go, hey, by the way, you going to send us one?
P.O. Box 945.
Surely he'll help us out. I might text him right now. Should I?
We can find it. That's the problem. The main problem with that thing I see is it doesn't, you know, used to it would come out here.
It's harder and harder to get it out anything out here.
I've commandeered it at the CrossFit place one time.
Yeah. So you went in there and got it?
Yeah. They were looking at me like, what are you doing here?
I wasn't going to say it.
Are you lost, sir?
They would look at me, too. Go,
hey, are you lost? Do we need to give you some of these energy bars? You look like you could use a snack.
Come here, do a pull-up. Jared, come here.
I said, no, ma'am. I need that one of those magazines over there. I'm not here looking for a workout.
I want to quit the gym. Saw that Friends last night.
I am I'm looking for a workout. I'm not looking for a workout. I'm looking for a magazine.
Well, yeah, it's going to be here before you know it. And that is, so a week from tomorrow, Hall of Fame game, which has major implications on the Super Bowl participants, right? This is why we watch.
Who's playing? Jags and
I don't know.
Bills, maybe?
I don't. I think Bills are one of them. I don't know.
I think it's Bills-Jags. Nope, it's Jags-Las Vegas Raiders.
Well, that just
Jags
gets
and
my,
Raiders.
My football juice is flowing. Oh, boy. Doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter who's playing. We tune in just to see some pad popping, and we don't care what the score is or who's playing.
Nah.
It's just a little appetizer for what's to come.
It is. It just gets you to know. And if everybody being in training camp as of yesterday isn't enough to have you know that football's getting closer, the Hall of Fame game will be. Did you see what is coming to Oklahoma City?
I did see that.
Professional women's softball. Are you surprised it took this long for that to occur?
A little bit. Now, I'm a little murky on my professional leagues. Is this the only professional league? Is there a couple professional leagues? I don't know. I know Lauren Chamberlain is the commish, and they're looking at – now, first report said they were going to play at Hall of Fame Stadium. Now, that's not 100% sure, but – all in all, yeah, I'm a little surprised it hasn't happened sooner. But it doesn't surprise me that it's happened because Oklahoma has turned into the mecca of softball, to quote an ill-advised dummy who left the state. But, yeah, a little surprised. But I'm glad it's happening. We'll see if it takes off.
Yeah, I'm interested to see because at least for – a couple of weeks in June, the state is the mecca of softball.
Right.
And probably really throughout the entire spring.
As long as OU and OSU keep playing at a high level.
And that's where I'm going here. Is it people love OU and OSU and they'll go watch any sport that those two teams are playing? Or is it, hey, has it been long enough to where people have truly fallen in love with the sport of softball itself?
Yeah, that's going to be telling. Is it's fun when OU and OSU are good at softball, especially when you're a fan of either team and you can. It's easy to gravitate to them. I've said it over and over on this show. I gravitate to the sport because I'm a girl dad. I got kids who play it, and then again, coupled with the fact that a team I root for is really good. Now, it will be very interesting to see, will that fandom, that fanatic passion that myself and others have towards those teams in the sport, will it transfer over to that pro level? That's going to be interesting to see. And it's such a young professional league. You know, I'm sure there are tons of people saying, that NFL will never take off. And here it is, you know, you just don't start a professional league and all of a sudden it is huge. Professional doesn't mean, what am I trying to say? You know, prime time ESPN Saturday night, that it takes some time. But it's going to pique some interest and we'll see. Like, look at the energy, the Oklahoma City Energy. And when the iteration of that first came along, It was fun. I went to a couple of those games. The product they put on the outside of the game, like the atmosphere was fun. It felt like I was kind of in Europe in a weird way, that with the flags and the scarves and all, you know, the fandom, and it was really cool. And now they've suspended for a season for some reason or other. Well, I mean, it's hard to establish something like that. Will the fans keep going is the big question.
Yeah, that's...
I think when it first starts, you're going to see fans in the stands, but will they continue to go?
Right, and that, that's my question. Do they love softball or do they just love OU and OSU, whatever it is? And here's, you know, I think this is something Southwestern is able to capitalize on, or any of the small colleges throughout the state of Oklahoma. When they build rosters, it helps to have local ties. And so if I'm the OKC Spark general manager, I'm getting as many OU or OSU or small college Oklahoma ladies as I can in order to try to build those crowds. Because I think when you first hear this, your thought process leaps immediately. Oh, that'll be cool. I mean, we get to see a packed house and Hall of Fame for the World Series. That'd be cool for these ladies to get to play in front of that many people as a professional. Not so fast. There's a lot to that. But it's cool. It gives another outlet for them to continue past college, because, you know, that's something that I think we even talked about during the World Series is, you know, you're talking about maybe the greatest softball player of all time in Jocelyn Allo. Is this, I mean, what is next? What is there? The Olympics?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it is so much different than any other sport that we talk about at a collegiate level, because you know, you're always thinking, all right, how do these skills translate into the professional game that this person's going to be able to go and play in? And the softball just really hasn't been that way at a very high level. So hopefully, maybe the state of Oklahoma is able to kind of help in that. That the state is more of a softball state than just an OU and OSU state.
Yeah.
And then the marketing from there, like Jeremy says on the text line, you've got to use Allo to market. And it's so true. You know, but we've seen in some of these lesser sports, there was never a better chance for women's professional soccer to be a thing than after the World Cup in 99, and it just hasn't taken hold. And now it feels like this is softball's great, great chance with the home run queen coming into the professional ranks, and we'll see how they do. But I think it's very, very wise to get the state involved, to get Oklahoma City involved, because the Oklahoma City is where things happen. It is where the College World Series is. It is where, I mean, it's where any huge international softball game that's held in America is in Oklahoma City.
Right. And the timing of the season's good, too. It doesn't overlap with the NBA as much. I think, in June?
Yeah.
I say so it doesn't overlap with Oklahoma City's NBA as of now. But if there was, it wouldn't be much. And speaking of marketing, if they're smart, the Spark, if they – we're smart, I'm sure they are, get out. Don't think if we build it, they will come. I think you need to go out and get your fans. Go out to the ballparks. Go out to, those weekend tournaments that start as early as, April? March? And be a presence there. Have a booth there, you know? And let people know you're in the state. This is when our league starts. This is when our first game is. Come on out. Maybe throw out some free tickets to some teams. You know, go out there and get your fans, because I don't think it's as simple as if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, because I can still remember when the Hornets were displaced and being in State Fair Arena for Championship Saturday watching. All the way back then. Mm-hmm. And who was partnered with whatever energy company at the time to present scholarship money at halftime of each game? Chris Paul.
There you go.
And I think that was a genius way to kind of tie the NBA to everybody was there for and everybody's used to being there for with the high school game. And it was a small thing. I mean, he literally just walked out, shook somebody's hand of maybe the superintendent of the school that won that scholarship or whatever it was, and walked back off, and we didn't see him again for 2 hours. But to use that presence in that way, and it wasn't even an Oklahoma City team. It was just kind of a rental. But But that was a great way to do that.
Right.
I mean, a great way. And being able to use those players and connect them to the state or the softball community within the state, I think is a genius way to try to build a fan base. Because like you said, it's coming from nothing. You know, OU and OSU softball had a built-in fan base because of the people that root for all the other sports.
Right.
Not just softball. You know, that's already established. And so to be able to start that, and every little thing counts in this, any way that you can make one kid's day by being at some tournament or whatever it is, you know, then that can spread. Who knows? That can spread to one girl takes three girls and they love it, and then their parents, and all of a sudden, boom, now you got a pretty decent following moving forward. So I think it's wise for Oklahoma City to be used, and obviously Jocelyn Allo has to be at the forefront of this, because right now she's as marketable a female athlete as there basically is on the planet.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I hope it works. I hope it takes off, because it'll be a fun event to go to in those lull periods between.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that's ever been to Hall of Fame Stadium for the World Series says it's one of the best events they've been to. It gets some semblance of that later on in the summer. It's a cool idea. You know what else is fun, Jared?
Well, I'm going to guess, since you teased it, fantasy football.
Fantasy football. Isn't fantasy football fun?
Keeps you interested.
And also a little bit annoying and also heartbreaking. For instance, last year my team
It's all ranges of emotion.
My team was dominant at one point with when Derrick Henry was rolling. My main man, Possum, he felt the discouragement part of Christian McCaffrey getting hurt. And so he decided to trade me Christian McCaffrey for like Joe Burrow and somebody else. He could have had Jalen Hurts. He chose Joe Burrow instead. So at one point for like two magical weeks, I had Jalen Hurts, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Pitts, Robert Woods, scary Terry McLaurin. I can't remember the rest of the week. I have a really good receiving core. And was just waxing people, scoring over 200 points in our league once. And then the next week, McCaffrey and Derrick Henry got hurt. Robert Woods tore his ACL. And it was all she wrote for the skinny Trumps.
So, yeah, a whole all range emotion, of emotion right
all of
there.
It, all of it right there in like 2 weeks span in the fantasy football. So, first question for you about fantasy football is this. Going into the season, it feels like the number one overall pick is not disputable. It's going to be, unless you screw up, Jonathan Taylor.
Running
back, Colts. He catches it. He runs it. Scores touchdowns. It seems like Jonathan Taylor is the undisputed number one pick in a lot the same way that McCaffrey has been the last couple of years. My question to you is this. If you had the number one overall pick, would you go with the conventional wisdom of Jonathan Taylor, or would you take somebody else?
Well, if I had the number one pick and I'm in a room full of guys that are going to heckle me relentlessly if I don't use it on Jonathan Taylor, then I'm taking Taylor. But you mentioned Henry. I think I would consider him. But the catching thing is what stands out to me.
That's right. Yeah, Henry can't be the first pick because he doesn't catch.
Right.
So the real question I wrote down is, when do you start thinking of McCaffrey? Here's the deal. I take him first still. Now, I haven't been Possum and got burnt the last 2 years by having the number one overall pick, taking a guy that literally had 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving the year before with all those catches and scoring touchdowns. I mean, a fantasy football Mount Rushmore-type seasons, and then he gets hurt 2 years in a row. I'm sure that leaves a pretty sour taste in your mouth. All you have to do is listen at 2 o'clock. Jim and Matt, their team, they drafted Christian McCaffrey. Now Jim has forbade Matt from drafting him. I'm not going to do that. If I get the number one overall pick, I'm still rolling the dice with Christian McCaffrey.
You are?
Yes.
Wow.
100%.
Okay. Yeah. Just now, my only pause to that is, who's his quarterback? See what I'm saying? That could
either don't either one of them feel like check down Charlie anyway?
Sure.
You know, if it's Baker, he's got plenty. You know, he and Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, he's been using those guys in the passing game to a certain effectiveness. If it's Sam Darnold, he's probably looking for the first open guy, which sometimes and I had seen stuff back in the earlier in the summer, kind of during the OTAs and whatnot, that maybe Matt Rhule was wanting to use Christian McCaffrey a little bit more as a slot guy, just to protect him from taking the abuse that he takes at the running back spot. So, you know, maybe that's a good thing, but maybe that puts Jonathan Taylor as the number one guy. Just with the uncertainty of exactly where and exactly how much the Panthers are going to use McCaffrey. But I think when push comes to shove, we see this all the time in the NFL, where it's, oh, yeah, we're going to limit this guy's touches. We're going to limit, you know, try to eliminate as much of the injury concern as possible. We've got to limit that. Then when it's 20-17, middle of the third quarter, all that goes out the window because you're trying to win a football game.
Yeah.
And I think that would be good for McCaffrey. So you're not scared of him all that. How scared of you are him then? If you've got, say, Taylor and Henry, who you take next? Is McCaffrey next, or are you going Austin Eckler or somebody else?
If Taylor and Henry are off the board,
and you've got number three,
and I have the three pick, I think, and I've admittedly pulled up a list here to kind of bring me in the fold here. Dalvin Cook is considerable, and then there's even I'm seeing Joe Mixon up there too. He had a great season last year that kind of went unnoticed and under the radar. Probably not by fantasy owners, but yeah, Eckler I think would just be the safe pick.
So you are scared of McCaffrey and the injuries?
A little bit in the uncertainty at not only the quarterback position but the coaching position. I mean, what if they make a change right in the middle of the year? What if they start 0 and whatever, and then they go, okay, we're not even going to wait till the end of the year?
So where do you
Rhule is done, and the whole philosophy changes, and he could just shut it down himself. I don't know.
So where does he have to be for you to at what pick do you go, okay, the chances of him being great,
I guess the
outweigh, like, you know what I'm saying?
My biggest fault personally in fantasy is I don't look – I mean, I look at the player, obviously, but I also kind of look at the team and the intangibles around him. And sometimes I think – now, I know tanking isn't prevalent in the NFL – but sometimes I take that into consideration. Like, man, he's a good player on a bad team. He could be misused. He could personally shut it down if the playoffs are completely out of the question. He might want traded, and he's not happy where he's at. It's kind of a mental thing, I guess. So that kind of sticks with me. Whereas, you know, Eckler is at the Chargers. They seem more stable right now than Carolina. And I'm not saying Eckler is a better player than McCaffrey, but I think the situation is better right now for him.
Okay, so that's third. Fourth?
Well, then it'd have to be McCaffrey.
Must pick at four? Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting thing because as much the injury concerns as and then couple that with what you just talked about, I think a guy that was the guaranteed number one pick over the last 2 years, I think there's people that will have a hard time pulling that trigger. And I hope – that if I'm not fortunate enough to be in the top one or two or three, I hope the people that have those concerns are above me in the draft order. That way he will fall. I'm a McCaffrey guy. I just the seasons that he's capable of putting up
for
just
some
off
chance,
the charts.
If for some chance in our league I am bumped up into the top three, I cry conspiracy because of everything. This is bad. We should be talking about this. We know Drew's listening.
Yeah, you're right.
He's taking notes right now.
Yeah, he's trying to snake his way around to
that
be able to get.
Dude is Mr. Wizard of fantasy football. He's constantly thinking of the intangibles and what the other guys are going to do.
Mm-hmm. He listens to a fantasy football podcast after he hears ours.
He has a full wall with string and push pins, and he's just He's like, his hair is all messed up, and his ties.
What's his name on Beautiful always, Mind?
On Sun. Oh yeah, that. Yeah. Well, I was thinking about the
John. What's his name?
The Sunny. It's Always Sunny.
Oh, yeah, Charlie.
Yeah, where Charlie's cigarette in the hand. He's that's true in fantasy football. So we need to be careful what we say.
Yeah, he's already slotted you in the third pick. He's got the fourth, and he's going to get McCaffrey.
Yes.
And it'd be quicker to get back around to the front for his second-round pick. This is interesting because it feels to me like when I first started playing fantasy football, like your strategy was two running backs as quick as you could get them and then see what's left.
This list I have here has it divided up by tiers.
Yeah.
And the majority of tier one and two are running backs.
That's right. And so I was thinking, you know, 12-team, 10-team league, whatever it would be. So I went to 12. And you may be looking at the exact list I was looking at.
I just Googled.
But like five guys, non-running backs, were in that list in the top 12. Wide receiver and tight end almost exclusively were what those guys were in the list I saw, which seemed like a bunch to me. But then when I went, I just randomly picked a year, and it was 2010, and I looked at the final stats of fantasy football, and in that year, four guys that weren't running backs ended up top 12 players. It was three wide receivers, which you want to take a guess?
In 2010?
No.
Remember, I just turned 39.
So Brandon Lloyd. Remember Brandon Lloyd?
Vaguely.
Dwayne Bowe. Quarterback was Michael Vick.
Okay.
Can't remember the third receiver. Oh, yeah, I can. No. Greg Jennings was just outside. Anyways. So maybe that's something that I'm thinking that's happening, but it's always kind of happened. The other positions are a little bit more elite than what you think. And obviously, that has to be in a PPR league, because otherwise it's not going to be the case. But is that a narrative that's really there, or has it always kind of been there?
With the running back thing?
Like the running back's value in fantasy lessening just a little bit.
Well, based on this list, I'd say no. But there are some that creep up that you want as a wide receiver, even a tight end. Can be very, because I mean, you get those guys in the red zone, they are guaranteed, almost guaranteed, they're going to be targeted.
See, though, that's the position group that the importance has skyrocketed over the past decade is tight ends. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first started playing, you didn't even really notice if you had one playing.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you're talking about like Kelsey and Mark Andrews and Kyle Pitts and whoever else. I know I'm leaving another great one out, just trying to name them off the top of my head. But those guys are going to be all gone by the second round, by the end of the second round, right? I mean, all of those guys are going to be gone. Kittle, George Kittle, and probably maybe even Waller as well. You know, that's crazy. Used to, it was like you wouldn't draft a tight end until the seventh round or whatever. And now you're talking about, you know, first round, potentially really high in the second round, you may have four tight ends off the board.
Yeah.
And I guess, so I guess maybe in that, if you put those two together, I guess there's just more. How about this? There's more elite-feeling wide receivers and tight ends than there used to be, and there's less elite running backs. Like, the tiers of running backs drops off pretty fast. That makes sense? Guys that are actually out there for all three downs.
Right. Yeah, I can see. Yeah, you're right. The league has turned into running back by committee.
Yeah, way more than it was a decade ago. And so maybe that's what it is. It's just if you get – you can still really have a good team if you get one of those top, I don't know, seven guys or whatever. But then there's the elite pass catchers, I think, have kind of stepped up. But I think that also means that one position gets pushed down further than it used to be, and that's quarterback.
Right.
You know, that's the interesting part to me was playing fantasy football 15 years ago. not playing until, what, 3 years ago, kind of taking a break, and then getting back in there and thinking, oh, yeah, oh, my gosh, I can get Pat Mahomes with the fourth pick. Heck, yeah, that guy's this. And then realizing, oh, my God, that was a terrible pick. Like 2 weeks in, it didn't take any time to go, oops. They're not near as important as I thought they were.
No, no. Yep. Based on this list, I've found the first quarterback that comes up, and I won't say who, that'll be fun, comes at, because it's an overall list, you know, at number 31.
Josh Allen, got to be.
You are correct.
Got to be Josh Allen.
And efforting the second quarterback, 47.
I'm going to say Lamar.
Nope.
Justin Herbert.
Yep.
I've got quarterback tiers set up right here.
You got them? Okay.
No, I just put them.
You got your own.
I got my own.
Look at you.
I think there's five guys that are in a tier by themselves, and then there's another five or six that you might want to draft in the first five or six rounds, maybe. And then after that, you don't care. You just find somebody way later. Lamar, Kyler, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Herbert. I think those are the five quarterbacks that can actually make a difference.
Why Jalen Hurts? That's the question everyone's going to ask.
Because he's a fantasy football superstar. Because he runs so well.
He has a good vision to know when to
tuck and go. Scores running touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, what was he like the third best fantasy quarterback last year as a rookie?
I don't know. It's a great question.
I think he was.
Was he?
If I remember right. We can Google that. I just know he was on my team, and he was awesome. He was the quintessential, man, that guy isn't the greatest football player in real life, but in fantasy football, he's off the charts.
Right. Whereas Josh Allen might be both. That's why, yeah, I have him, this list I have, he's up there. They have a tiered quarterbacks, only four in tier one. That's Josh Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, and Jackson in that order. Followed by Murray, then Hurts. Burrow, Tom Brady, Prescott, and Wilson in tier two.
Okay, so yeah.
Shock Stafford's not a little higher.
This has Hurts at ninth, but he only played 15 games. And it's ranking him by total points scored.
Ah.
So he averaged 22 points a game. If you move him up into the 360 range, yeah, now he's fourth. From a year ago. And, you know, depending on how this was scored, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he was two games shy of playing the whole season, and he was still ninth. The top one, two, three, four, five were all 17-game players. So he'd have been fourth. That's, you know, I think that's about right. That puts him in that tier. So now say who they had tier one. Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, and who else?
Tier one, they had Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, and Lamar.
And Lamar, yeah. If it's me, I think, I don't, you know who, when I played, this is probably a bad thing to do, but it seemed like Herbert, when I played Drew, always went nuts. Like when you had Tyreek and I played you, he went crazy. And it kind of gives you PTSD when you play you again.
Yeah.
Herbert felt like that guy when I played Drew every time. Any rookies that can make a difference?
I don't know.
It's interesting, you know, because that's been kind of a theme the last couple of years, especially with those receivers. Gosh, you think about Jefferson and CD and Jamar Chase and Pitts at the tight end. You know, there's been a bunch of guys that were really highly touted and superstar type players, you know, that people couldn't wait to draft later without knowing exactly what their role would be, you know. But I mean, look at Jamar Chase last year. Holy cow. Going out on a limb for that guy was huge.
Right.
This year's draft felt like it was kind of void of those superstar skill players.
Yeah, it did.
You know, the receivers were there, but I don't know that they're in the class of the guys before them in the last couple classes. There wasn't a running back in the first round. Are there any rookies that you think can make a real difference in fantasy football?
Maybe Chris Olave.
Olave.
Olave. I always do that wrong. Wide receiver at the Saints.
Just because he's at the Saints?
Mainly.
That's why I wrote him down, too. I mean, Jameis, and I think we're kind of conditioned to expect the Saints to have good offense.
Yeah.
Problem is the dudes that create a good offense with the Saints aren't there. So it's a whole new batch.
What about anybody going to the Chiefs?
Yeah, there's always a chance there.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If they could stand out, get some targets, sure, maybe. I'm looking at a list, admittedly. But Olave, I think, is the guy because of those reasons we mentioned. But you're right. There wasn't a lot of splashy skill picks that were made in this past draft. It was a really conservative draft.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, Drake London was the guy you didn't really see at USC because they were bad. He was in the top 10. Garrett Wilson, but he went to the Jets. So that's almost Zach Wilson contingent.
Yeah.
I wrote down Breece Hall, even though Michael Carter was there as a rookie also last year at the running back spot. But we just talked about how it's committee, and maybe he can hit you some big plays. I wrote down the Texas Tech wide receiver, Eric Uzakama. He went to Miami. And then why I wrote him down is because it may be hard to get there when you've got Waddle and Hill and the tight end. But you've also got Waddle and Hill and the tight end, Gesicki. That's going to attract a lot of defensive eyeballs. So maybe he can make plays for Tua as kind of the not the safety valve, but the best matchup. Because, I mean, he was a big dude. You know, it made some big plays against OU at times at Tech. Because you couldn't figure out how to say his name. I think the answer to the question is not really. It doesn't feel like – I mean, somebody's going to, and normally it's going to be like maybe it's Kenneth Walker up at Seattle because of what happened with Chris Carson yesterday, having to retire due to the neck injury.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Kenneth Walker, second-round pick out of Michigan State, can be the rookie fantasy star. Problem is who the heck is going to block for him on that offensive line in Seattle. So I don't know. I don't know if rookies – it's maybe one of those years where you definitely wait and see, and you may just never see anything that really materializes.
Yeah.
All right. It's fantasy football in the NFL. Next question. Who's got the most pressure on them and the entire league coming up this season? More NFL talk. Bill Barnwell wrote an article on ESPN.com. The 20 guys – with the most to prove, with the most hanging in the balance going into the NFL season, which to me means the most pressure on them. So, in your mind, going into this season, what player in the NFL has the most pressure on them to succeed, and why?
Well, I'll keep it local a little bit. Kyler Murray, we got the big deal. We mentioned the contract stuff. We'll see if I think there's some pressure there to step it up. I thought that was going to happen last year as he was kind of my preseason MVP guy, and he had the nice start to the year and then tailed off. So there's pressure there. Staying local. Okay, Baker, you got traded. Now you got to go win a job, we think. We don't know. And then, you know, prove the Browns wrong. So it's not so much it's a different type of pressure, you know, not just the Browns, but everyone else that says, you know, you're not an NFL quarterback. He's heard that since day one. So there's some pressure there, but I'll stick with those two guys. I see the list you're talking about here. I don't know. Those two guys stand out to me. Lamar Jackson's up there. What do you think?
Lamar by far number one. By far. Because he's got over $200 million hanging in the balance. You know, that's where I take Kyler completely off that list because he got paid. He got paid. So, you know what? Even if things go completely south, He's still got $105 million in his pocket right now. And so, yeah, I mean, that in certain ways, that ratchets up the pressure a little bit to perform. And then all the stuff with the contract and him not watching film and being lazy. You know, that but that's like that's almost like fake pressure, right? That's just like media-created pressure.
That's yeah.
Lamar's got real pressure, real financial pressure on him to perform so that he cashes in the way that Murray just did.
Right.
You know, I don't think there's – he's not – I don't think he'll get the, you know, the $500 million Pat Mahomes 10-year deal. But if you're looking at what Kyler just got at 230, you know, the next guy will that's in that tier sort of always resets the market. And Lamar Jackson is the guy ready to reset the market and just inch a little higher up that pay scale. And so to me, it's not even close. It's him. It's Lamar Jackson because he's betting on himself with the way that he, you know, and doing his own negotiation. That's just crazy. But I think it's him. And it's funny that these are all going to be quarterbacks because mm-hmm. aren't they the ones that really have it?
Well, yeah.
See, okay, so number two and three are similar. One's been in the league longer, one hasn't. But for me, number two is Tua. With everything that the Dolphins have done in the offseason, they drafted Waddle a year ago, brought in Tyreek Hill this year in the offseason with free agency, or the trade, I guess, that they made before the draft. I think Tua Tagovailoa, this is his chance to show, hey, I am a real NFL starting quarterback and can take this team into the playoffs, or I'm out of a job searching in the Baker Mayfield, Marcus Mariota land for a place to fall and either have to battle for a job or be a backup to start.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. He's a guy that I don't know, worries the right word, but I don't know if he is the guy for Miami to get them to the next level, especially you got Tyreek Hill there. You mentioned it, they've done a lot of stuff in the offseason. They might be kind of putting themselves in a Tennessee-type situation where you got all the pieces around you except a Tier 1 top guy quarterback. So we'll see if Tua can be that guy. There is pressure there to become that guy.
Yeah, I mean, and whether or not it's warranted or not, at the end of the season, if Miami falls short, it's going to be on him. Because they revamped the offense or the defense, excuse me, a year ago, spending all that money in free agency, getting all that talent on the defensive side, and now you've got kind of did the same thing the other way this year to put weapons around Tua. I think Tua is, yeah, we're gonna find out. And man, I really like Tua coming in. And maybe that's the bias that I can't get rid of, but I think he's going to have a breakout season and be plenty good enough with those weapons around him to have the Dolphins be a pretty good team. You mentioned the other guy in talking about Tua, and that's Tannehill.
Yeah.
You know, the Titans were the one seed in the AFC going in to the playoffs a year ago, and it was funny because even though they were the one seed with home field throughout the AFC playoffs – 0.0 people were picking them to go to the Super Bowl, and the reason why was Ryan Tannehill. And so now you fast forward a year later, you lose A.J. Brown to a trade, Henry coming off the injury, and oh, by the way, what else happened in the offseason? Drafted Malik Willis. So now the pressure ratchets up even more. Not only does Tannehill have it to not be the guy keeping the Titans from reaching the goals that everybody thinks that they ought to be able to attain. Oh yeah, we've got your replacement on the roster too.
Yeah, you can almost throw any guy up there when you see your team draft a quarterback as being a guy with pressure. So that's definitely a good point. I'd almost want to put Jimmy G in there, but it sounds like Garoppolo's done.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that the way that San Francisco came out, I guess they met with him yesterday, that was always that has been the reports that sure enough it's going to be Trey Lance's job. That was put to bed yesterday with Brian What's his name? Oh my gosh, I've went completely blank.
Weinhorst?
No. The coach.
Oh, I've got him.
My mind just went completely blank. Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Anyhow, with Shanahan just not only saying it's Trey Lance's team, but also saying, and it has been for a year, meaning as soon as we drafted him a year ago, this was coming. This was always the plan, unbeknownst maybe to Jimmy G, who just damn near took the Niners to a second Super Bowl in, what, 4 years? That's maybe the most interesting place in the league is there. Because that team is fantastic.
Right.
And so is Trey Lance the answer that pushes them just a little bit over the top? Or is Trey Lance the reason why they are due to fall?
Well, there's another pressure guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as a young guy. You know, a lot of times those young guys don't have that pressure as much because they have that, oh, we're young excuse. But, yeah, he's going to have some for a first-year starting quarterback. There's no doubt about that. With as good as that team is around him and as good as they've been. Who else? Anybody else? You know, Jerry Jones yesterday talked about Mike McCarthy. Question was brought up, you know, with him sitting there. How much is he on the hot seat? And Jones answered it in the way that he did about if he didn't believe he could take him to the Super Bowl, he wouldn't be the coach right now because he has options. Thought that was an interesting way to say it in true Jerry Jones form.
But that rose some eyebrows. So you're saying a coach under pressure?
Yeah. I mean,
anytime anybody, whoever is the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, is going to have a lot of pressure. It starts because of your boss.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, it's one of the most recognizable teams in sports. So, sure, that comes with the territory. That's almost like a reserved spot as the most high-pressure coaching job in the NFL. Doesn't matter who you are, how accomplished you are. You get the head coaching job with the Dallas Cowboys, boom, number one most pressure-filled job. But outside of that, who else, what other coach in the league?
Matt Rhule, obviously.
Yeah.
You mentioned him when we were talking about fantasy football and the possibility of him being done. Let's see who else. McCarthy. Who else would seem to have a whole bunch of pressure on him? I can't remember. Did Barnwell have any other coaches on his list outside of Rhule? I've lost the list.
Well, we shall see.
There we are.
Found it interesting he put
Josh McDaniels. He had him on there.
Yeah.
It's his third job. Okay. It's his third job. Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll for sure because he's old. And it feels like Seattle's in rebuild mode. So without him resurrecting something, is it time to... Okay, let's cut our losses. We're changing the team. This is no longer the Let Russ Cook / Legion of Boom version of Seattle. Let's rebuild this thing all together at once. Yeah, probably him. That makes sense.
I think that axe is coming.
Yeah, or he'll just retire.
Or say, hey, Pete, listen, we're going to move on here at the end of the year. Do you want to retire?
Yeah.
Save face?
Probably so. Here's an interesting name on his list, the very last one. Tom Brady.
See, I about said that.
Tom Brady. Just from the standpoint of going out on top and the ability to go out on top and the ability not to look like, I mean, he brings up Peyton Manning and Brett Favre. you know, in their last seasons, how just, I mean, Peyton Manning got benched before winning the Super Bowl for Brock Osweiler. That defense was so good it didn't matter. And then, you know, Favre got worse and worse as his season. You know, what did he finish up with the Jets maybe that last year? You know,
yeah,
trying to avoid that look. And Brady was really good last year in what could have been, what we thought might have been his swan song. It was for about 3 days. And then he was back. So, yeah, I mean, that. But once again, I mean, how much pressure is there really on the greatest NFL player of all time?
Zero. I think what takes the pressure off is if he says.
Is he's won 7 Super Bowls?
Yeah, well, that's a big reason. But if he tells, even just telling himself, and he probably told himself last year and then he chose to come back, but just telling himself, this is my final year. I know what I'm doing at the very end of this year, whenever that may come.
Yeah.
And that pressure's off. So I don't think that there's no reason for him to be on this list. I don't see it.
I understand why, though.
You don't want to look – you want to go out on top, and you don't want to look a guy – yeah, I get that.
You don't want to look 45 years old.
Yeah.
And he hasn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if he can't throw it 10 yards? Then that'll look terrible. All right, everybody have a great weekend or have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.